Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Romans. Hello and good morning, faithful listeners and faithful watchers, because I'm also recording myself and putting it on YouTube for today for all of you guys who are watching on YouTube. Hello, I'm so glad that you are joining in with the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 1 and kind of getting into what righteousness means, what God's righteousness means, and also how God is truth and people refuse to believe in the truth, even though God has shown evidence of himself to everybody. Every single person has seen evidence of God. We'll talk about all that today. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. And as always, I'll be reading out of the WEB. Make sure to grab your nice cup of coffee. Let's go ahead and read this together. Once again, this is Romans chapter 1, 13 through 21. Now I don't desire to have you unaware, brothers, that I often plan to come to you, and was hindered so far that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am debtor both to Greeks and to foreigners, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as is in me, I am eager to preach the good news to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it is revealed God's righteousness from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known of God is revealed in them, for God revealed it to them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because knowing God, they didn't glorify him as God, and didn't give thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. So we know that this book was written approximately AD 55 to AD 58, and that was right around the time that Nero became the Caesar. And Paul had every intention during that time of going to Rome to preach the gospel there. And he said so much because probably the people in Rome were wondering why Paul wasn't coming to them, because obviously Paul, being a very famous missionary in his day, people wanted to see him, wanted to hear what he had to say. So I can imagine the people in Rome, with Rome being like the biggest city pretty much back in those days, the hub of all activity, both political and cultural, they probably thought, like, why isn't Paul coming to us to preach the gospel? So he makes it very clear here in verses 13 through 15 that he really did want to go to Rome. Like, he had every intention of going to Rome, but was hindered, is what he says. So for some reason, he just was not able to go to Rome. He was not ignoring the Romans. He just, for some reason, was hindered to travel to Rome. He couldn't do it. So that's what he says here in verse 13. I don't desire to have you unaware, brothers, that I often planned to come to you and was hindered so far that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and foreigners, both to the wise and to the foolish. And this is kind of a curious little verse, why he throws this in here. But the reason I personally think that he said this, he explains to the Romans that he wasn't avoiding them because they were Gentiles. Because he says, I'm a debtor to both Greeks and to foreigners, both to the wise and to the foolish. So he's saying, I'm not avoiding all of you guys in Rome because you're Gentiles, if that's what you are concerned about. In fact, I have many Gentile people who I am indebted to because they treated me very kindly and allowed me to stay at their house. So personally, that's why I think he throws that verse in there, because he's trying to quell the fear that he's avoiding the Roman church. Verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am eager to preach the good news to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So not only is Paul not avoiding the Roman church, but he also desires to go there to preach the good news there. And a lot of people would probably get very nervous going to a city like Rome and preaching the good news very publicly in a city like that. I mean, think about any of the big cities where you live. It would probably be pretty scary to go preach the gospel very publicly in that city. And so Paul also says to the Romans, like, look, I'm not avoiding coming and preaching the gospel just because it's Rome. In fact, I would love to preach the good news to Rome, and I am not afraid to preach the good news to Rome because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of it, no matter what city I am in. I want to proclaim it to the world. I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. So because the word of God is salvation to those who believe, Paul says that he is not going to be afraid to preach it to anybody. And honestly, Paul lived out his life like that. He preached to ordinary people. He preached to great philosophers when he was in Greece. He preached to governors. He preached to Jewish people and to Jewish elders and even to the high priest at one point. And he preached to Nero later on at the very end of his life. So Paul was preaching to everybody, both poor and rich, small and great. He did not care. He was going to preach because it was the message of salvation. And that is what all of us Christians should be believing. So we shouldn't be afraid to spread the gospel, though I'm preaching to the choir. I get scared sometimes to spread the gospel, if I'm being honest, because it is scary. I mean, what are people going to think of you? And I'm sure Paul had those fears sometimes in his life. In fact, he said as much that he had those fears. He actually asked people to pray for him that he would be bold in spreading the gospel message to people. And thankfully, Paul was always bold. He was always willing to spread the gospel when push came to shove. He says, the gospel message is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So I'd like to go into that a little bit, but we will be going more into that once we hit Romans chapter 11. So I'm not going to really, you know, focus in hard on this topic today. But the gospel message was given to the Jews first. And I personally am not somebody who believes in the replacement theory, if you guys know what that means. The replacement theory is when somebody believes that Christians have replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. I do not believe that. I believe in the grafted in theory, if that is a theory. That's just something I made up just now. But the grafted in theory is basically the belief that Christians have been grafted in as God's chosen people, because that's what Romans 11 talks about, how the Jewish people are like an olive tree and Gentiles are like wild olive trees that aren't part of the main olive tree. But God broke some branches off of the main olive tree and put branches on from the wild olive trees to make one great olive tree. In other words, his chosen people. So I don't believe that Christians have replaced the Jews. I believe that the Jews are still God's chosen people because of what Paul says here and in other places, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or for the Gentile. As we know, that has been the order of things since the beginning of the Bible. He gave the Old Testament to the Jews and the law to the Jews so that they could spread it to all the nations of the world. He then came to earth as a Jew to give the salvation message to the Jews. In fact, Jesus rarely went into Gentile territory when he was on earth. There was only a handful of occasions. Jesus primarily went to the Jews. And then afterward, the Jews who became Christians went out and spread the Christian message to the rest of the world. So we wouldn't have Christianity if it weren't for the Jews. We wouldn't have Christianity if it weren't for the Jewish people who became Christian converts and spread the message of Christianity throughout the entire world. We know this because Paul was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. All of the disciples were Jews. And even the church in Rome was started by Jews. And we know that because it says on the day of Pentecost that a bunch of Jewish people from Rome were in the city for that feast. And then when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came and everybody was speaking in different tongues, these Roman Jewish people, a lot of them became saved. And so they took that message of salvation back to their hometown. And so even Rome, like the church in Rome, the Christian church in Rome, was started by Jewish people. It has always been the Jew first and then the Gentile. However, the message of salvation is for everybody and always has been. I think a lot of times people look at the Old Testament and they're like, oh, it was only for the Jewish people. It was not for the Gentiles. But that's absolutely untrue, because God said multiple times that he was giving the law to the Jewish people so they could teach the rest of the world how to live, so that the rest of the world could look at the Jews and see what they're doing right. And then on top of that, God actually encouraged Gentiles in the Old Testament to convert to Judaism. So from the very beginning, God chose the Jewish people. And then through the Jewish people, the rest of the world has become blessed. And so that is why I think that the Jewish people are still God's chosen people, but Gentiles have been grafted in, because unfortunately there are a lot of Jewish people that refuse to believe in Jesus. And so those branches will be broken off, and the Gentiles are grafted in where those branches were, if that makes sense. I'll go a lot more in depth with that once we get to Romans 11. Okay, so now Paul is speaking more about the gospel message. For in it, it is revealed God's righteousness from faith to faith. So from generation to generation, God's righteousness has been revealed through the Old Testament laws, through all of the scriptures, rather. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. And now Paul is going more into the scriptures. He says, for in it is revealed God's righteousness from faith to faith. So for all generations, from faith to faith, from my parents' faith to my faith, and beyond and before that, God's righteousness has been revealed through the scriptures, and that will never change. And righteousness basically just means living in a just and moral way. That is what righteousness means. And God obviously is righteous. We are not righteous. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. So the only way that we can become righteous is if we have faith in God. And that is from Habakkuk 2 verse 4. But anybody who does not have faith in God and who does not live in righteousness through that faith, here's what it says about those people. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God's wrath, I think some people get very angry at that because, you know, human wrath, that is what we can see. And human wrath, a lot of times, in other words, anger, is often very selfish, very self-seeking, very volatile, and very, I was going to say angry, but I can't define anger with anger. It can be cruel, right? That is the anger that we can see here on earth. But since God is righteous, he doesn't have any of those sinful tendencies that go along with humanly anger or humanly wrath. God's wrath is completely righteous. And honestly, I think it's hard for us humans to wrap our minds around that. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God doesn't look kindly on that. When people believe in untruths and also make other people question the truth, God does not look kindly on that. His anger and wrath shows when that happens, because all truth is God's truth. Anything that is truthful is from God. It actually says in the book of Revelation that Jesus' name is truth. So if God is the definition of truth, anything else that is not truth is anti-God. Lies are anti-God. And what do we call Satan? He's the father of lies. God is the father of truth. Satan is the father of lies. So if someone is spreading lies and encouraging other people to believe in those lies, obviously those people are spreading something that is anti-God, and God's righteous wrath, anger, is going to show on those people. Here's what it says in verse 19. Because that which is known of God is revealed in them, for God revealed it to them. And then Paul goes into that even more. The invisible things of God since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. For example, my family and I watched the eclipse last Monday, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was so cool to see. And all I could think when that was happening was, wow, I am so insignificant. This is so powerful. This is even kind of creepy and scary that like you can barely wrap your mind around it. Obviously, we know how it happens, but it's so amazing to see. It makes, at least it made me feel very insignificant because I can't do anything like that. I don't have that amount of power. And God shows us those things, those amazing things that he does, these things that he puts into motion. The creation of the world, everything, shows and reveals God's amazing power. But people refuse to see it. People refuse to believe in God, even though he proves himself through creation and through nature time and time again. In fact, it says that people are without excuse. They are choosing to believe in lies instead of God, and they are without excuse because God revealed himself. Because knowing God, they didn't glorify him as God and didn't give thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. A lot of people can see the evidence of God, but choose to ignore him, choose to not give him glory, and choose to follow their own lies. I sometimes like to listen to testimonies in my spare time, like if I'm cooking or something, I'll turn on like a YouTube video of a testimony. And what's really interesting about that is almost without fail, these people who refuse to acknowledge God at any point in their previous life, they hit rock bottom. And then suddenly they're crying out to God. And the reason I find that so interesting, and actually that same thing happened to my husband. He was an atheist for years before I knew him. And he also hit rock bottom and called out to God. And that just proves to me that those people who said they were atheists, who said they don't believe in God at all, were lying to themselves, because suddenly when they hit rock bottom, God is real to them. God is there. You know, like they believe suddenly that God is there because they have lost all hope in everything that they previously believed in. And it's almost without fail on every testimony that I hear is people didn't believe in God, refused to believe in God, and were living some of their lifestyle. And then suddenly when they just couldn't handle that lifestyle anymore, they cry out to God. So yeah, people, whether or not they want to admit it, know that God exists, because otherwise they wouldn't call out to God when they are in those low moments. And that's basically what Paul is saying here. He says that everybody knows in their heart that God exists, but it's their choice to believe it or to not believe it. It's their choice to follow a path of lies that leads away from God, or it's their choice to follow the path of truth that leads to God. And later on, Paul is going to go more into what it looks like when people refuse to believe the truth and just some of the dark paths that people find themselves on when they choose to believe in lies. And we'll talk about all of that on Thursday when we finish up Romans chapter 1. And I told you guys. I like to say I told you so. I told you guys that Romans was going to be a lot. I was like, you know, if you think Leviticus was a lot, just wait till we get to the book of Romans. It's going to be so much. And there is. There's so much content that Paul talks about in each verse, basically. I could probably talk about each individual verse in Romans for 20 minutes per verse, I feel like. But for sake of time, of course, I'm going to end today's podcast here. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. Please check out all the links listed in the description of this episode. And if you feel like you like this ministry, then check out Ko-fi and also share the podcast with somebody that you think it could help. Faithful listeners, I will see you all. Well, faithful listeners and faithful watchers for you guys on YouTube. I'll see all of you guys on Thursday for another episode out of Romans. Until then, happy listening and God bless.